You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Hey, you're listening to the 5-Minute Talk Show with Phil Iazetta. We're bringing you today's best comedy and entertainment personalities. Now your host, Phil Iazetta.
Joining us on the 5-Minute Talk Show hotline, I am telling you, this guy... There are few people that I admire more than this man. And I told him this when we worked together back at some place in New York a long time ago. I'm going to say it now, Artie. I've never told anyone this story. When I was working in New York, as everyone does when they first start a new job, they don't make much money. First time I ever hung out with this guy out in Las Vegas, he hands me and my other buddy, J.D. Harmeyer, $500 in chips and says, go and have a good time, guys. I mean, that was the classiest thing, Artie. I've worked for a lot of people. Keith Olbermann never did that for me. Letterman never did that for me.
You see?
Now I can give you the introduction. Joining us on the hotline, he's going to be at the Gotham Comedy Club this Friday and Saturday night, 7:30 and 10 p.m. for tickets, 212-367-9000, or go to gotfittincomedyclub.com. The great Artie Lang. Artie, I'm sorry I took so long, but you know I love you.
Hey, Phil, that's fine, man. Anybody who's not calling me a scumbag is where you can talk forever if you want. It's funny. You and JD, you want anybody around you to have a good time. The problem is $500 in Vegas could lead to some bad stuff, too, so I'm glad you're okay.
Let me tell you, that money went straight to food and rent. Because
good for you.
We flew back to New York, I think, a day or two later. And, you know, it gets back to reality. And $500 in Vegas is play money. But in New York City, that's 2 weeks worth of food. So, Artie,
yeah, man.
I mean, honestly, you've always been my favorite. I told you that. I've still been waiting for you and, you know, Norm MacDonald. I tell him this, too, every time he's out here in Vegas. When are we going to have Dirty Work 2? I've been waiting for this for 30 years, man.
Hey,
are we going to see it?
I wish you were the head of a big studio, dude, and then we could do it. A lot of people tell me that. I always say, you know, look, I'm so happy, especially for Norm, because he really loved that movie so much, you know, and that's his signature film. And to be in the first big movie role I get, to be in a buddy comedy with Norm was amazing. And when we did it, you know, you shoot a movie, you don't know what's going to happen, but I got to meet a lot of heroes of mine. Chris Farley was in that, and Chevy Chase, and Don Rickles, and all that stuff. And,
and I got to be Saget friends Saget directed with, it, didn't he?
And yeah, Saget directed it. It was like comedy college. You know, the fact that's become kind of a cult hit is a big deal. I appreciate the kind words.
Oh, well, no, it has. And every time I talk to one of the guys who was in Dirty Work, whether it's you or Norm or even Bob Saget, I spoke to Bob and, you know, you bring back Don Rickles' name and everyone should know. Kids out there, if you want to hear the true insult comic, regardless what you say about Jeff Ross, I love Ross, but Rickles is on another level, in my opinion. And I say is because he lives and he will live forever. When I asked Saget about Dirty Work and Rickles, I said, you know, I heard this rumor that he called you the Jewish Clark Kent. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, all that stuff is true. Don Rickles, we had him for one day of shooting, and I think he was getting like $100,000 a day or something. So we made him work like 17 hours, and they tried writing him lines, and, you know, he couldn't remember the lines. He was a little older, but it's Don Rickles. It's like, just look at these people and insult them. And he was insulting us off camera, on camera, in character, out of character. It was constant insults for the crew. And like you say, you know, Jewish Clark Kent, stuff like that. People hear jokes like that nowadays, and they want to start a march or a protest. Nice. That's what comedy was, man. Don Rickles is the essence of what comedy is to me, you know, and to work with him was a pleasure.
Well, that's why I'm so happy, Artie, you're still around, man. And I got to say this, yeah. you should be protected under lock and key, because you are like the last of the dying breed. You know, when I grew up, there were men. Now there's not men anymore. And it's like, yeah. I go around and I try to laugh. And, you know, there's a handful of guys. You have your Attells, your Bill Burrs, sure. You know, your Colin Quinns that are just legendary. And we mentioned Saget. But when we go back to Rickles and making that movie, take us back to first of all, how it started. Because the story to me, Norm Macdonald, you know, you talk about guys who just hook you up and just.
Oh, yeah. People.
How did that happen? Because I've heard the story, but can you tell everyone else how it happened? Because to me, it's one of the funniest things ever with Saget again involved.
Well, I never met Norm until the screen test for that movie. He had seen me on Mad TV, and it was getting late in the casting, and they wanted a few people who couldn't do it, and the studio wanted some people that they didn't want. And then Norm and Frank Sebastiano and the casting director had seen me on Mad TV, and they said, this guy would be perfect for it. So they're like, great, let's get him to audition. And then I auditioned. And, you know, everything went great. They fly me out to do a screen test with Norm and Saget. And they find out, like, the night of the screen test that I had just gotten out of jail for possession of cocaine. I just got out of L.A. County Jail, like, and it wasn't that long ago. And I fly out there. The screen test goes great. They give me the part. And they're like, all right, well, let's just kind of get to know each other. And that night, I promise them everything will be great. We got to go to Canada to shoot the thing. And, you know, Saget says, let's go shoot some pool and get to know each other. And, you know, I'm back in show business after I had just gotten, you know, maybe kicked out for going to jail. And right in front of these guys while I'm shooting pool, there's three Mexicans next to us. And I buy cocaine from the Mexicans in the bathroom. and I come out on coke, and they're like, well, he's on cocaine now. What are we going to do? So they had so the next morning I'm like, oh my God, I wake up in my hotel room and I'm like, I just blew it again. But thank God the coolest guy ever, Norm, called me up in a hotel room with the studio and everybody and said, look, man, I love losers. Just don't get arrested up there. And you got the part.
Well, thank God you got the part, because let me tell you, that part led, of course, to the Norm Macdonald show, the Norm
right.
show, the Howard Stern show, Old School, which was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, and then
right.
Elf. Then, you know, I love this movie because you did it. And we were working together around the same time when it came out. Beer League to me, and there were other movies that copied that, and it was so crazy to me that the movie Beer Fest came out and you couldn't do them at the same time.
I mean,
you wrote this thing on your own. It was your baby. What was that like for you to actually create something? As a kid, Artie, I'm from Queens. You're from Jersey. We never thought of making movies. What did it mean to you that you made a movie?
Well, that was huge. Well, I appreciate you putting it that way, man, because you hit the nail on the head. It's like a dream come true. I had this idea. I always wanted to do a movie about the crazy guys I played softball with, you know. And if we do it right, it's got to be rated R and OPG-13. It's got to be nuts. There's got to be strippers. There's got to be drugs. There's got to be craziness. And the kids that helped, you know, wrote Dirty Work with Norm, Frank Sebastiano. I said, Frank, I got this idea. I wrote a short film called Game Day that I put out on when I was on Howard, I put out on my first stand-up special as an extra. And I showed it to him, and it got in a couple of short film festivals, and Frank said, I'll write the whole movie with you. So at the time, I wasn't on Howard yet when we wrote the movie. And it sat there for 5 years. And Frank said, this movie's so crazy, the only way it's going to get made is if you get more famous. And then the Howard Stern Show came along, and I was able to get the money to do it. So when we were actually shooting that, I said, I can't believe this is happening. And then when it premiered and people loved it, I mean, we made it for guys like you, you know, and people that, you know, would get it. And the fact that it came out and people like it so much, you know, that, you're right, man. It's like, you know, again, the dirty work, I got Mad TV. Everything I got after Mad TV could be traced back to Dirty Work, because Dirty Work, like you said, got me those other movies, got Beer League made. I met Frank, and Norm brought me on Howard to promote it, and that's how I got Howard Stern. A lot of dreams came true because of Dirty Work, absolutely.
Well, let me tell you, a lot of dreams came true for me just meeting you, because being from the neighborhood I was from, you know, you laugh, Artie, but I'm telling you, man, you gave guys like me who tried to break into entertainment, who had a last name that was Italian. I mean, you have the same last name as Jessica Lange, so it never, you know, it never hurt you at all.
Right.
For me, coming up and seeing a guy who kind of talked like me, who acted like me, you know, who didn't have to sell out and, you know, act like he was half of something that he, you know, that you can't say anymore. I mean, it meant a lot. And that's why I thank you for staying true to it so long. And I know you're going to have a sellout this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Gotham Comedy Club. Chris Mazzilli, brilliant in booking you this weekend. 212-367-9000. Tickets are only $35. Now, I remember paying $75 to see Artie somewhere else in New York City. Go to GothamComedyClub.com, of course, 208 West 23rd Street. Now, after that, after the movie, you have a best-selling novel, Too Fat to Fish. I mean, Artie, at what point are you like, all right, you know, it's too much now? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, the idea, I mean, I don't think anybody in high school that I went to high school for thought I would ever read a book, much less write three of them. And then right after all that happened, the book comes out and it's number one on the New York Times bestsellers. Again, showbiz is the one, you know, showbiz is sports, I guess, but if you don't have the athletic ability. I had some of it. I knew I was going to ever play shortstop for the Yankees. But, you know, if you try hard and you got some kind of voice, some sort of point of view that makes you kind of unique, like you said, and you got people out there like you get it, you just want to make it for people who get it. You could do it. Comedy, especially nowadays, it's a weird world, but it's also a fun, interesting world, you know. And I've had success. It's nice.
No, it's a weird world, and you know, one of the things I want to get to, and I'm the least politically correct person, and I almost like to say things to have people boo me or yell at me or scream at me. So you know, it's growing up again where we did. We love guys like Roddy Piper. We love guys like Dirk Munson. You know, it's like the man's man. It doesn't matter what they say. I mean,
well, exactly.
How do you feel, though, about this? Because I defend the guy. I'm not saying I agree with what he says or what he says on Twitter, but I got to interview Donald Trump through the Stern Show. And the experience I had with him, Artie, he was the nicest guy to me. And again, when people are nice to me, I'll do anything for them. What was your experience like with him? Because I know it was a good one.
Yeah, I roasted Trump. I golfed with Trump. Me and Eli Manning and Trump golfed together once after I roasted him. You could find me roasting him online. It's the craziest thing ever. You see him laughing at all these gay jokes and race jokes. And this was years before he became president. But he's just, you know, look, he's first generation construction. He's a construction New York guy. He's not a politician. That's why I think he resonated with people. I hung out with him at Howard's wedding. I saw him at the Stern Show a bunch of times. I never didn't have a good time with the guy. I know in the show business now, people, you know, they want to go nuts when you say that. I mean, I don't see what the fuss is about. I mean, he's refreshing. And yeah, you're right. I had a great time with the guy. He's got a good sense of humor.
Well, that's the first president, Artie. That's what I'm getting at. He has a real sense of humor. This guy, you could tell a dirty joke to. You could watch The Aristocrats with, and he'd get it.
Yeah, no, he's not. Well, the thing is, he's not a politician. I mean, I said this about, you know, and he's a rock star. Obama was a rock star. You know, these guys are charismatic guys who the crowd gets into. And, you know, say what you want about either, you know, a guy like Obama or Trump, not the same politically, but they just the mere fact that they exist means this is a great country. Obama was, you know, we'll make a black man president if we're pissed off at other, you know, other things in the country. And you know, and we respect them.
Yeah.
And that's a great sign. And Trump is a construction guy who was a game show host. And we're like, no, we don't like the politicians. America will vote you out. Just the fact that guys like that exist is a great thing.
I love it. That's why I love the country. Hey, we had the first male black first man or woman, whatever it was. So, hey, that's something Obama gave us too. Anyway.
No, yeah. Absolutely.
Crashing. When I spoke to Pete Holmes, I was upset that the show was canceled. I was upset.
Yeah.
The show, to me, one of the last great shows on television. What was your experience like?
Oh, it was great, man. That's the most fun I've ever had acting. I got to play myself, but Apatow and Pete got me again. They got my sense of humor, and they let me go. Judd was brilliant in dealing with comics. He's always been in it. He gets the best out of them in a movie or in a TV show, acting wise. And you know, he just let me riff and tell stories and got it on camera. And Pete was a perfect guy to be opposite, and they were so sweet to me. They're very supportive. You know, I went through my hell, and they dealt with it. They rolled with the punches, and you know, I did 3 seasons of that show. And again, it's another thing that I'm very, very proud of. I'm glad you liked it.
No, it's not just liked it. I mean, when you talk to those guys and you hear about it, and I watch the show religiously, the scene in the pizza place. Pete had told me that was all ad lib. If that was ad lib, that was some of the most brilliant dialogue ever. Did you just come off off the cuff with that?
Well, I had an advantage in that Judd Apatow had read my book, my first book, Too Fat to Fish, and he loved the stories in it. So we sat there, and there was a script, and, you know, but Judd needed a scene where, you know, someone tells Pete what comedy could be like, the bad side of it, the dark side of it, what could happen, you know, if you're on the road and, you know, you get vices and different negative things come out of nowhere. He goes, I got 4 cameras here. And that's the great thing about working with Apatow and HBO. They're like, they got so much money in the budget. I go, I got 4 cameras, they're just rolling. He said, Artie, just tell them about your crazy life. And that's what I did. And it worked. It worked. Yeah. That was all ad-lib completely.
Artie, you gave me goosebumps with that. I'm telling you, it was the most you could tell that was emotional. It just, anyone who knows anything about comedians or who's been a part of a comic's life in any way, that really hits home, and thank you for that little dialogue, because that to me was amazing. Changing gears, Halfway House, something that's not a huge budget, something that doesn't have 4 cameras, but it does have Mike Buscetti, though.
So, that's all you need.
Talk to us about that show, because Artie, to hear you on the radio again, to hear you doing what, in my opinion, you're one of the best of a handful of people to do it. No, you really are, man. You are engaging, and you get people sucked in. An hour and 15 minutes later, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, damn you, Artie. How does it feel to be doing radio again?
It feels great, man. I mean, again, you need 4 cameras just to cover Mike Buscetti. So, Mike was on my show on DirecTV, and, I just had a blast with him. There's no other person like him. And I said, I'm going to make you my co-host every day. And he's like, that's fantastic. And I just wanted the Halfway House theme to be crazy people I've met, you know, in the system, the criminal justice system, or people who should be in a Halfway House, like Lenny Dykstra.
Wait, time out. The Philadelphia felon?
Yeah, right, exactly.
When you get into those rants, though, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When you start laughing, I couldn't, for 10 minutes, I was laughing at you, laughing at Philadelphia felon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, man. That's I just wanted to be real. I just want anything I do to seem like, you know, I mean, I couldn't be any other way. People say, Howard used to say to me, well, the people like you because you're genuine. I'm like, I don't know any other way to be. I mean, what am I going to do, put an English accent on and pretend like, you know, I'm in the royal family? It's not going to work. So, I mean, that anything I do from stand-up to the books to anything, it's just me, you know, and you hope it works out.
Now, you mentioned stand-up. It's afforded you the opportunity to work with guys like Attell and meet people. Like, to me, it's crazy how guys like Bob Levy and Ryan Phillippe and Pete Davidson are like the 6 degrees of separation of Artie Lang. Forget about Kevin Bacon. You knew Pete, I'm sure. You knew Pete, I'm sure, as a kid, and you've seen this evolution of Pete Davidson. Now he's dating girls like Kate Beckinsale, Cindy Crawford's daughter, Ariana Grande. How come you never got chicks like this when you were doing stand-up and on Mad TV?
I tell you what, I lead such a crazy life. I don't want to be any more famous than I am. I'm like, you date Ariana Grande. Not that she would ever date me, but you date that, all of a sudden everything's on blast. And, you know, God bless. You know, look, I don't know. I don't know. I always say to David Spade, Spade always wanted to date like Julia Roberts. I'm like, just date the hottest chick at Hooters. Who cares, you know?
Well, I'll never forget at one time I had two girls escort you down the red carpet of the AVN Awards. I never got to thank you for that, by the way. But,
well,
but that's
I'm going to say thank you. That's what the 500 was for.
Awesome Comedy Club. This, Artie, you're one of the fastest people on earth. I adore you. As I said, Gotham Comedy Club, 7:30, 10 o'clock. 212-367-9000. $35 tickets to see Artie Lang. Get them while they're hot. GothamComedyClub.com. Last thing before I let you go, one of the funniest moments in TV history, HBO, The Joe Buck Show. That was the funniest and most uncomfortable thing. Do you ever revisit that and watch it? And I know you probably had to say you're sorry to him, but do you ever watch it and just go, God, I was on that night?
Yeah, well, on's a little while and off. It's like, I think they'd wanted to kill me after a little while, but I thought, you know, stuff like that is, again, it's just me being me. You know, I don't think Joe knew what the hell was coming, but they said, let him have it. And we were the comedians on the show, so I let him have it. Chad Ochocinco just bored up. It was a bore fest with him, so I tried to go nuts, but someone like me, I'll always go a little too far. That's what I do.
I loved it. And if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, Google it up and just watch Paul Rudd's face. First episode, you canceled his show. Artie, that's why we love you so much. Artie, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Phil. You're a good man, bro. I'll talk to you.
You've been listening to the 5-Minute Talk Show. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and keep listening at 5MinuteTalkShow.com.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Imagine bold, naturally aged Tillamook cheddar slices melting over a burger. Eating handfuls of thick-cut cheddar shreds straight from the bag. Taking a bite out of an irresistibly bold block of extra sharp cheddar cheese. We know you want to get back to streaming, but wasn't it nice to daydream about cheese for a bit? Tillamook Cheddar. Extraordinary dairy.